You're listening to the Always Forward Leadership Podcast,
featuring the leadership of Ron Kitchens.
The topics discussed today are designed
to keep you moving always forward.
Hello, and welcome to the Always Forward Leadership Podcast with Ron Kitchens. I'm Amanda Harrison, and today we're talking about the new normal when it comes to organizational structure. So Southwest Michigan First has some unique traits when it comes to how we are structured. We've alluded to some of these things in the past and in previous podcasts, and we've received questions about how it all works. So before we break it down, Ron, can you introduce us to the why behind today's topic?
You know, when we look at where we are in terms of workforce and people's expectations, we have to know we're at this huge inflection point. And I've been hearing about it for 20 years or longer, the baby boomers beginning to retire. I saw something online, 10,000 baby boomers a day retiring, coming out of the workforce. There's only about half that number coming into the workforce. So the changes of who's going to be running companies and organizations is dynamic. Ernst & Young has a new study out, 2015 study, that looks at generational research and looks at 8 different countries. And when it looks at millennials, those coming into the workforce, the data is pretty clear. The millennials want a different place to work. They want a place that's flexible. It's not all about hierarchy. They want access to leaders. They want to be able to make an impact today. Nobody wants to sit and wait till you're 40. I think we've shared with our listeners that early in my career, I had the president of a bank, a very large regional bank, come to me and ask me if I'd join his team and talked about how I was going to work like a dog and it was going to be tough work and they were going to pay me terrible for 25 years. And then at the end of 25 years, I could dedicate most of my time to community activities, and they'd give me a huge salary. Well, I don't know about you, but as a 25 or 30-year-old, I wasn't willing to wait for 25 years to have an impact. And the millennials today aren't willing to wait, and they don't want a lot of levels between them and the decision makers. Kerry Newhoff is one of my favorite thought leaders around leadership, and he's got a great blog. He talks about the fact that millennials today that he's working with are really looking for 2 things in a workplace. They're looking for the ability to have an impact and to very clearly understand the why of an organization. And 2, they're looking for mentors and leaders in the workplace who understand what their needs are, but will then coach them to that impact. So organizations that are going to be impactful over the next generation are going to be those that embrace very flat, very open, and pretty flexible strategies.
Yeah, definitely. So we're talking about the new normal, and this is why we're talking about this. So with this influx of millennials into the workforce, we've got to start addressing some of these things. So we're going to break it down a little bit, talk about some of the things that we're doing at Southwest Michigan First that is kind of practical applications to this topic. One of the things, and we've mentioned this before, everyone on our team serves as the CEO of their own responsibilities. So Ron, what does that mean in the context of today's conversation?
That means as a point leader, I have a choice to do 1 or 2 things. I can teach people our why, and they understand and own that, and then give them the resources they need to execute against our why. Or I can create an environment that's very top-down, very structured, if you will, almost a military hierarchy. Well, that second one just doesn't work any longer. I don't have enough time or personal resources to be able to do that and grow an impactful organization. So it's my responsibility to cast the vision on why, to bring the right people on our team, and then give them the resources and help them clearly understand what their responsibilities are, just like the board of directors of our organization does for me, and then empower them to go be the CEO of their own responsibilities. That can be a little scary if you don't hire correctly, if you don't cast the vision for why. So that's why we spend so much time onboarding people, selecting people to come onto our organization. We spend so much time talking about our why. That's the most important thing we can do. then give people resources. If you do that, they'll go do great things for you.
Yeah, another thing that kind of relates to being the CEO of our own responsibilities is the fact that nobody on our team has a job description. So we're not defined by specific parameters, which really, again, can be a scary thing if you're not hiring the right people. But talk about kind of the creativity and the uniqueness behind that.
Yes, so job descriptions tend to be excuses for folks. They would go, well, that's not really my job. So nobody on our team would ever say that because your job is to push forward the vision and the why for our organization. But people do need boundaries. And so we have guardrails. People know where we're going and what our why is. We talk about our structure. We talk about governance. So it is an open, you know, melee of high-performance people. People have guardrails. They know where the boundaries are. But within those boundaries, they are fully empowered to run as fast as they can, to have as much impact as they can. They don't have to wait for permission.
So, like you said, we have this kind of innate sense of responsibility, which means we're not necessarily operating under traditional organizational structures. Of course, we do have structure, but talk about kind of some of those uniquenesses. Like you said, we were flat. You know, we talk about how titles exist on our team, but they don't really mean much. So break some of that down for our listeners.
Yeah, titles are an interesting thing. So if I could get away with it, we wouldn't have any titles. Titles are for the outside world so they can put us in boxes. And too many times, that's all the title is really for. You have the occasional thing where you need the right title in dealing with international companies so they make sure it's president to president kind of things. But mostly people use them to eliminate people from conversations. So internally, we just don't allow that hierarchy. We have people leading teams who have titles that would not normally put them in that position. But we've hired for their skills, their talents, you know, their hardwired innate ability to succeed. And so I can give you any title in the world. That doesn't impact your ability to be successful. And so where we have them, people really care more about them for their, maybe their mom. So they get a business card that says vice president on it. But it just doesn't matter. But that's really hard to tell a team that if the leader isn't willing to live that and show that leadership has nothing to do with title.
Yeah, so one of the ways that you show that as our leader is that we don't really have a traditional organizational chart, like the traditional tree that you see where there's the leader at the top and then everybody kind of branches out from there. You know, and I've heard you talk about us more in the sense of teams, again, like you said, and then this phrase concentric circles. Can you explain that philosophy?
Yeah, so we all know a concentric circle. You know, you drop a pebble in the water and you see the circle continue to radiate and have impact. And if you drop multiple pebbles in the water, multiple circles begin to interact with each other and they mix. And that's where they begin to create that energy. And so what we want to do is create circles of leadership. So if you've got a program that you are working on, if you've got something you're doing, you can bring a group of people around you, create that circle, and you're leading around that, but you may be over on another team serving in that circle and maybe interacting with the third team. And by mixing those things together, we're going to get a better product. We're going to get a greater gumbo, if you will, of success and leadership as opposed to traditional silos that encourage competition amongst teams instead of collaboration. And again, it's back to the new workforce. Those that want to make high competition against each other in workforces are going to find their best talent. It's going to leave because collaboration is king.
Yeah, absolutely. Another unique aspect of our org structure is that we don't really have a formal HR director or an HR team. Why and how does that work for us?
So we have the traditional benefit structure like all companies these days. So we have to manage that a little bit. We use third-party company to manage our payroll. We have a third-party insurance provider that takes care of not just the insurance, but kind of the benefits piece. So we've got somebody making sure the legal's taken care of. But, you know, traditionally, HR departments are about playing defense, about making sure that nobody does anything wrong. Well, the truth is, we just don't have those problems. It's really tough to join our team. The process of selection is long. We're putting you through lots of different instruments. We're testing for positivity. We're testing for talent. We're testing for strengths. We're testing for, you know, your ability to interact with people. You're going through fit interviews. By the time somebody joins our team, we're pretty well convinced they're amazing and awesome. And we're convinced we want to spend a third of our life with this person. And when you do that, you just don't have those problems. So by putting in an HR department whose job it is to play defense, to worry about punitive things, I think casts a vision that those things are going to happen. And frankly, I would rather take those same dollars and put into team engagement to make sure we're meeting on a regular basis, to make sure we're talking, to make sure we're laughing together. We want to do those things together. And I can take the resources we'd spend on punitive and defense, and I can put those on amazing. And because of that, we get to live in that world.
What I love about this strategy is even without a formal HR team, we've still been recognized as a national leader in corporate culture and engagement, like you mentioned. And really, it's because we're sharing these duties as a team and holding ourselves responsible. So another uniqueness in our structure is that we hold ourselves as a team accountable for staying engaged. So talk to us about why having team buy-in and ownership, especially around engagement, is huge for us.
Well, it reminds me of the t-shirt. They sell them at lots of beach places. You know, they're usually a pirate shirt that says, the beatings will continue till morale increases. That's most places, most workforces, most businesses in America. That's kind of the attitude. Well, none of us want to live in that world. Well, what people do want to do is they want to know they're having impact, they want to see the impact, and they want to be around other people who are having that impact. But they also want to make sure that they feel part of things and feel in on things. So we work very hard. And like you said, we've been recognized by the best places to work, several magazines, Fast Company, for our commitment to engagement and wellness. 2 years ago, we were named the best small business in America to work for. And that goes back to our wellness and engagement strategy. We focus a lot about doing things together, making sure people feel in on things, making sure people are committed. There are a number of companies that kind of work and assist with this. Gallup has their program, Q12. We use a company called HumanX that has a process called InsideX that helps us understand how people are feeling, how engaged they are, and then helps us go through the process of getting better every day. We'll never be great and stay at great if we don't focus on it every day. It translates to the bottom line. I think it's clear. I've read a number of reports by Gallup as they study this, that those companies that are more engaged, those companies that are more successful at getting their employees and their team to fully commit to the mission, vision, and why of the organization, see their sales, see their success, see their customer service, see the attendance at their church, see those measurables skyrocket as a direct proportion to their engagement levels. And so for us, this isn't about being squishy or about being soft or about being trendy. This is an enlightened self-interest that said, the more amazing the people are that we work with, the more amazing our results will be.
Yeah, and the cool thing about this is that, again, we're talking about unique organizational structures, the new normal, and this isn't a process that's facilitated by Ron, our CEO. It's facilitated by the team. So twice a year, we do this engagement survey, and then we get together as a team, and we hold ourselves accountable, and we discuss it together. And our goal as a team is to keep that engagement number above 85%, and it's been there for the past 5 years, and so that's something that I know we're really proud of. Ron, the last thing I want to touch on is flexibility in the work schedule. So talk about why this matters to our team, how it's working for you as a leader, and how it really is kind of the new norm in work environments.
So if you're going to believe that each employee, each person, each team member, whatever your verbiage is the CEO of their own responsibilities, then shouldn't they have the right as a CEO to manage their own schedules? I mean, if you think about that, it's a pretty good extension. Now, we all have external forces. If you're an emergency room doctor, you got to be in the emergency room when the emergencies happen. If you're an on-call police officer, you got to be on call. But most of us don't live in that world. We live in a world where we've got an iPhone and we've got an iPad and we have a laptop. Certainly my team all does. And they never go off. My phone, I'm dealing with emails of all kinds, all times of day. So we've got to understand that the demands on people's time, their resources, their knowledge isn't an 8-to-5 world. And their lives aren't structured that way. You know, we go by a motto that we've talked about on previous podcasts that was really coined, a phrase coined by Andy Stanley that talks about choosing to cheat. And it's about clearly understanding that people are called to do lots of things in their lives. They're called to be family members, whether it's a parent, a child, a spouse. They're called to react to emergencies in their life. They're called to be community volunteers. They're called to do a lot of things beyond simply working for your organization. So by empowering them and engaging and saying, I want you to be great at everything you do, and I'm going to give you the freedom to manage that. Now, there I get regular emails. What do you do if somebody abuses it? How do you handle that? We sit down and have that crucial conversation with them, but we don't penalize the rest of the group if there's a problem. And so what we want to do is make sure that people have an integrated life as possible. I don't know what life balance is. I hear about that all the time. It depends on the season I'm in and what balance and things I want to do. So what we want is people to have an integrated life where they know that if your child's doing something great, if they're in a track meet tomorrow, they could share that with their team and say, hey, I'm going to be out from 3 to 5. Get me on my phone because I'm going to my child's track meet. That not only lifts them up, it lifts all of us up as a team because we get to celebrate and live through the success of that team member. And when you're as close as we are, it really does become a family environment.
Yeah, that's great insight. And I know we've got a lot to be grateful for as an organization, but I also truly believe that everyone who's listening today can take away some of these insights and also implement them into whatever you're doing in the community. So, Ron, as we close, do you have any final thoughts?
You know, all this seems really nice, and it's amazing the number of phone calls, emails, texts I get after we talk about this kind of thing, about leaders who I really respect, who will call and say, that sounds awesome. I can never get that done in my own organization. Will you let me know if you have any vacancies on your team? I mean, it just doesn't happen once or twice. After people listen to this, I'll get 30 or 40 of those responses. So one of the things we've done, and it breaks my heart when I hear that. So one of the things we've done is we've committed that we want to help people bring this into their organization. There are lots of really simple things you can do. We didn't start everything we did all at once. We built upon levels of success, and we encourage people, just begin. Like any journey, take a step. You know, meet every day at 8:05 with all of your team for 10 minutes to share what you're doing that day, other things they should know. We call it a scrum. You can call it a huddle. Call it whatever you want. But do small things every day to get better. And pretty soon, like eating an elephant, you'll find that the elephant's all gone, one bite at a time.
Thanks for joining us for the Always Forward Leadership Podcast. We hope today's insights will help you develop into the leader you dream to be. To subscribe to Ron's blog or to submit a question for Ron to discuss in a future podcast, visit ronkitchens.com or tweet him at ronkitchens. Still listening? Hungry for more leadership development? Then you have got to get to Catalyst University on January 28 in Kalamazoo. No matter where you're at in life, Catalyst University will help launch your leadership to new heights. Just visit catalystuniversity.me to learn more and book your tickets.